All right, we are up to our next unit, which is the end of Perek Hey, little episode, 3 verses long, with the conversation that takes place. And it's 3 verses long, but as we'll see, it's a little bit longer, and it's probably one of the most dramatic moments in the Sefer. Everything before us to unfold. Let's see what's going on. So the last thing we did, we talked about Pesach, and we talked about Milah, and then this verse 12, we didn't really discuss at length, but it's just interesting that the day after Pesach, the eating of the produce of the land, there's a lot of halachic discussion about that. I'm going to leave it for now, and then we get to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayhi biyot Yoshua biricho. When it came to be when Yoshua was near Yericho or at Yericho, vayisa enav vayar, v'inei ish omed lenegdo, v'charbo shlufa biyado. He saw a man standing opposite him, over him, with a sword drawn. Now you are the chief of staff, you have an army behind you, and you are ready to march on Yericho, and there stands a man with a sword. So that's an odd vision or odd moment. Vayelech Yeshua elav, vayomer lo. Yeshua goes over to him and he says to him, Halanu ata im litzareinu. Are you for us? Or are you with our enemies? Or in the language of the vernacular, identify yourself, friend or foe. Who are you? Halanu ata im litzareinu. Are you for us or against us? Strange man standing there with the sword. He says, you need to get out of our way or help us, but you are standing in our way. Alanu atayim atzareinu. Vayomer, lo. So he says, no, you misunderstand completely. Ki ani sar tzva Hashem, ata bati. I am the captain of the army of God. Sar tzva Hashem, ministering angel, let's call it, of the army of Hashem. Atabati, I have come now. Vayipol Yoshua al panav arza. Vayishtachu. Yoshua realized who and what he was talking to. He fell on his face. He bowed. Vayomelo, and he said to him, Ma adonim edaber al avdo. What does my master say to his servant? Well, suddenly the tone changes, right? From identify yourself, friend or foe, to falling on your face, bowing. What does my master say to his servant? Vayomer Sar Tzva Hashem al Yoshua. Sar Tzva Hashem says to Yoshua, Shal nalcha me'al raglecha ki ha'makom asher ata omed alav kodeshu. Take your shoes off from your feet, for the place you stand is holy. Yes, Yeshua came, and Yeshua did so. And that's the end of the chapter. Really remarkable conversation, if you think about it. There's this vision, this Sar Tzva Hashem, which clearly is a malach of some kind. And he's standing there with the sword. Yeshua doesn't know, thinks he's talking to an ish. And he says, well, who, friend or foe, identify yourself, what's the password? And he says, no, and the Sar Tzva Hashem bat, the Atab bat, they've come now. Yeshua bows down. He says to him, take your shoes off. Sounds familiar, right? It kind of immediately conjures reminiscing of the parallel to the story of Moshe at the burning bush. Take your shoes off and your feet, for the land you stand on is holy ground. And that seems to be the end of the story. Except that it's not really. It might be the end of the story. Yeah, that is certainly possible. And if I stopped here, what would be the message of the Malach? This is the end of the chapter. What essentially would be the message of this Malach? He seems to be coming to tell Yeshua that the land that he's standing on somehow is holy ground. I'm not quite sure why Yericho is holier ground than anywhere else in the land of Israel. That's a question to be determined. Is he referring to Yericho? Is he referring to the land of Israel? Is he referring to just that place, like the burning bush? What is the and if his purpose is to in some way reward Yoshua for the spiritual achievements of the Brit Milah and of the Korban Pesach, if you remember, after Abraham's Bris, he also had a vision of angels who came to him. And the Ramban, beginning of Parshat Vayera, says that that was a reward for the achievement of Brit Milah. Why does he have to be a Sar Tzva Hashem? Why does he have to be a ministering angel, the army of God? We don't even know what that means, but we'll unpack that a little later here. And why does he have to have a sword drawn? It's very strange. The truth is that one of the reasons it's so strange is because we tend to look at Tanakh by chapters, which is an odd way to look at Tanakh. In fact, there is a reality is that our Masoret of Tanakh, our tradition of the reading of Tanakh, or the structure of Tanakh, does not divide into chapters. That was invented by the Christian Bible. Our Masoret, if you will, our tradition of how to divide Tanakh, has paragraphs. And if I stop here, I'm stopped in the middle of a paragraph. I don't know if you've ever noticed in the bottom of these pages of Al Torah, it tells you that the text here is taken from the text of the Tanakh, Mikra Pi HaMasorah. So just to show you what that means, because it's hard to see it on this text, if I look at the Masorah here, I click on this link, I get this is the same Tanakh, same structure, same font, but divided by the paragraphs of a traditional Tanakh. If you looked at a Koran Tanakh, these are the paragraphs you would see. What we refer to as Parshiot Ptuchot Stumot, open and closed paragraphs, but these are the paragraph divisions. That's an open paragraph, this is a closed paragraph, whatever, I'm not going to get into the Pe and the Samach. But this is exactly the text I just read to you. Sees a man with the sword drawn. He says to our friend of foe, I am the ministering angel of God. Yeshua falls on his face and he says, what do you say? And he says, Sartzva Hashem. And Yeshua, he said, this Sartzva Hashem says to Yeshua, take your shoes off because the place you stand is holy. Vyas Yeshua ken. We're not finished with the paragraph. Because chapter 6, verse 1, in the chapter division, is the end of the paragraph in the Masoret division. You follow what I'm saying? So it continues, V'yiricho sogeret umsugeret, en yotzei, mpnei b'nei Yisrael, en yotzei, ve'en ba. Yiricho is completely surrounded, enclosed, besieged, Israel, right, besieging Yericho, en yotzei ve'en ba. Nobody goes in, nobody comes out. Why does nobody come out? Because Israel is besieging her. Why does nobody go in? Why have they not started the march on Yericho? Because there's something in their way. What's in their way? A ministering angel of God with a fiery sword, Sartzva Hashem, with the Chabosh Lufa Biado. So we call this a standoff. Israel's on the outside, Yeshua's on the inside. In between is this Malach. Vayihi biyot Yeshua biyericho, when Yeshua was in Yericho, at Yericho, or besieging Yericho, sogeret umusogeret, but b'nei b'nei Yisrael, there's a standoff because in between stands the Malach. Stands the Sartzva Hashem. And now suddenly the whole story seems to take on a different character, a different question. What is the message of this Sartzva Hashem? What is he coming to do? What is he coming to say? What is his purpose? And, so suddenly the fact that I divide the chapters by, so I understand if I divide the chapters by chapter division, this story of this angel is nothing to do with Yericho. He is about the previous story of the Bris Milah and the Korban Pesach and the spiritual attainment and holy ground. And maybe Gilgal is the holy place because that's where their camp was. This is just nothing to do with Yericho. And we go to chapter 6 and we talk about Yericho. But according to the Masoret, this Malach is sandwiched between two verses referring to Yeshua at Yericho, which tells me that there's something about the Malach and the story of Yericho. So working off that assumption, now let's continue into chapter 6 and see where that gets us. Everybody see what I just did with this little digression into the Masoret? Very important. So continuing in chapter 6, as if we're reading the same story, nobody goes in, nobody goes out. Maybe this because of the siege of Israel, maybe because of the Malach, which I'm suggesting. Vayomer Hashem al Yoshua. God spoke to Yoshua and said to him, I will give Yericho into your hands and its king, even the mighty warriors of Yericho. Here are the instructions. The Sabotem et ha'ir kol anshei ha'milchama, hakef et ha'ir parmachat. Take all of your warriors and go surround the city and circuit around the city one time. Kol ta'aseh shesh yamim, and you'll do this for 6 days. And for each circuit, what we refer to as a hakafa, for each hakef et ha'ir, for each hakafa around the city, Shiva Kohanim Yisu Shiva Shofarot Hayovlim Lifnei Ha'aron. Seven priests shall carry seven ram horns. A yovel is a ram. A shofar is a horn. Shofarot Hayovlim before the ark. Uvayom HaShvi'i on the seventh day. Tasobu et ha'ir sheva pami. You're going to do seven circuits. Structures sound familiar? Hashanah Rabbah, some Kestora, 7 days, Hashanah Rabbah, really, 7 days, seven hakafot, each day is a single hakaf, and the seventh day is going to do seven hakafot. The Kohanim yitku'u b'shofarot, and then the Kohanim are going to start to blow the shofar. Ve'aya bimshoch b'keren ha'yovel, when you blast that shofar, b'kishoma'achem et kol ha'shofar, when you hear the ram's horn, yariyu kol ha'am t'ruag dola, let the people shout. And between the sound of the shofar and the people shouting, the walls of the city will simply collapse beneath itself. And then the people can go in, surrounding the city from all sides, they can go in and they can take care of what they need to take care of. So you have a formula for the creation of an earthquake. If anybody wants to know how to create an earthquake, then you do seven hakafot with kohanim and shofars, a little bit of yelling, and boom, you have an earthquake. And the walls come, fall beneath itself. The rest of the parak now turns. Yeshua turns to the people, he turns to the kohanim, he tells them what to do, he gives them the instructions, they do exactly this. And the rest of the story I'm going to leave for now. I'm much more interested for today in the Malach and in the conversation about the instructions for the fall of, for the conquest or the takedown of the walls of Yericho. So again, I come back to the question I asked before, which is, what is the purpose of this Malach, of this angel who's speaking to Yeshua in the end of chapter 5? And essentially what I have is what I would call a difference of opinion in the textual, the parshanut, of how to read the text. Meaning, if I look at this from a chapter division perspective, this Malach has to do with chapter 5, and he's all about with some kind of spiritual moment for Yeshua and the people after Brit Milah, after Korban Pesach, and more or less the story stops there. But if I continue into chapter 6 for one paragraph, and that's the last sentence of this paragraph, then clearly the message of this Malach, this Sar Tzva Hashem, who has come with a sword drawn, has something to do with Yericho. The problem is that the next paragraph reads, Vayomer Hashem el Yoshua. God spoke to Yoshua. God spoke to Yeshua, and he said to him, here is the plan for how to take down Yericho. So what did the Malach do? And the Malach who speaks to Yeshua in chapter 5, and then I have connected somehow to Yericho, and then suddenly I have God speaking to Yeshua and says to him, okay, this is the plan, Kohanim, 7 days, seven hakafas, a little bit of shofar blowing, a little bit of yelling, and the walls come down. So what do I do with this? Understand the problem? Yeah, Makom Kadosh, holy place. Is Yericho a holy place? Why does Yeshua have to take his shoes off? Is the message of the Malach and the message of God with regards to the conquest of Yericho the same message? Is the Malach delivering that message, or is God delivering that message? It's confusing. So let's try to break this down a little bit. I think the key question, or the question with which we start, is assuming we're talking about Yericho, and again, how is Yericho a Makom Kadosh? I'm not sure. And assuming that we're talking about Sar Tzva Hashem, something to do with the battle that is about to take place, hence I need a ministering angel, and assuming right, that's what the sword represents, the first question I wanted to address is the transition between Vayomer Sar Tzva Hashem, this angel who speaks to Yeshua, and Vav Bet, which is Vayomer Hashem El Yeshua. God spoke to Yeshua. What happened in that transition? So if you take a look at the Radak, and here I think I put the source page in the chat room, but I'm going to do it again just in case. We take a look at the Radak, and he's not alone, just as a sample. Vayomer Hashem al Yoshua, when in the beginning of Perek Vav, when it says that God spoke to Yoshua, al yedei hamalach hanir alo. The conversation is not directly with God. The conversation is with the Malach. The purpose of this angel is here to transmit to Yoshua the battle plans for Yericho. That's his goal. His intent is to provide Yoshua with the instructions for how to conquer the walls of Yericho. Why does it say, Vayomer Hashem al Yoshua? So he explains, because when an angel speaks in God's name, it's as if God is speaking. And so we have this transition between the introduction which describes the vision, which describes Yehoshua's encounter with the individual he thinks is an Ish, turns out it's a Malach, so there's that conversation about what happened. And then the message. The message isn't coming from the Malach. The message is coming from God. But so the text bypasses the details. It doesn't tell us what the Malach said or the name of God. It just says, Vayomer Hashem. So Hadak goes one step further. He says, this is not the only place we find this kind of transition between Malach speaking in the name of God and the text describing it as God speaking. We have other examples of exactly the same phenomena. For example, Matzanu b'malach shenira l'Gidon. I'll show you that conversation in a moment. Whole conversation between the angel and Gidon. And there too it says, Vayomer elav Hashem. God said to him, and he was clearly speaking through the agency of HaMalach. The reference to the next verse I'll show you in a minute. Amur chazal kishmi b'kirbo. My name is in the Malach. I am, right? That's something which I'll show you in a moment, where it comes from and what it means. I'll show you where this reference to Shoftim that he's referring to, very important for us, very similar kind of setup, where you have an individual who's talking to a Malach. He may not even know that he's talking to a Malach. We are used to thinking of Malachim as a kind of, you know, we have this almost media-centered, very westernized vision of a Malach with kind of a white cloaked being with wings attached, right? We don't know what a Malach looks like. But when the Malachim interacted with human beings, they looked like human beings. Abraham thought of the three Malachim as strangers walking through the desert. Now, you can argue that they were trying to disguise themselves. But we have instances, several in Tanakh, where you have people talking to Malachim. They think they're talking to human beings. And then suddenly they realize they're talking to angels. There are two such examples in Sefer Shoftim alone. The first is Gidon. So let's talk about the story in Shoftim Perek Vav. Shoftim Perek Vav, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael harab b'nei Hashem, v'yitnim Hashem b'yad Midyan, sheva shanim. Classic cycle of the book of Shoftim. Israel sinned, God gave them, punished them by enabling a foreign power to oppress them for a bit. And the description of the Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael l'Hashem, they cried out to God. Vayikizaku b'nei Yisrael l'Hashem al adot midyan, vayishlach Hashem ish navi al b'nei Yisrael. As they cried out to God, God responded, and he sent them a navi. Clearly, here, ish navi, it says, a man, a prophet, not a malach. And this navi comes with a message. Vayomer lehem, k'omer Hashem. A navi speaks in the name of God, so he says, "Thus says God." I took you out of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage, and I saved you. I took the oppressors of Canaan, and I removed them from before you, and I gave him their land. And I said to you, don't fear, don't worship other gods, don't serve the gods of the Amorites, etc. You didn't listen to me. And that's where the message of the Navi ends. I told you not to worship other gods, you didn't listen to me, period. So it's missing a piece at the end, right? It's missing therefore, okay? But that's not a subject for now. Now we get to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayavo malach Hashem, vayeshev tachat ha'elah Hashem ofra shel Yoasha v'Yezri. The malach Hashem came and sat under a tree. Now, the confusing part here is that the word malach normally means malach, angel, but the word malach can also mean messenger. The navi, malachi, is called malachi because he is my messenger. So we were talking to a Navi before. Now this messenger of God, Malach Hashem, comes, sits under a tree. Is it the same Navi or is it a Malach? We don't know yet. And Gidon is there and he is pressing his wine press. Vayera elav Malach Hashem. Malach Hashem appeared to him. Now that sounds like an angel. And he says to Gidon, God is with you, mighty man of valor. Now, it's self-evident from the continuation of the story that Gidon has no idea that he's talking to a malach. Because his response is not only harsh, but if he was talking to a malach, extraordinarily disrespectful. Because Gidon's response is, Vayomer elav Gidon, Be Adoni, my master. Really? Honestly? God is with us? V'yesh Hashem imanu v'lam etza'atnu kol zot. If God was with us, why would we be suffering so? V'ayeh kol niflotav asher sipu lanu avoteinu le'mor alo mimitzrayim elanu Hashem yatan etashanu Hashem ma'itneinu bikaf midyan. Where are all of God's great miracles? Where is God who took us out of Egypt? He's abandoned us and handed us over to Midyan. God is with us. A joke. Vayifen elav Hashem. God turned to him and said, Lech bekochacha zeh. This is your strength. Go voshatat yiso mikaf Midyan. Go and save Israel from the hands of Midyan. Halo shlachticha, I am sending you. Now suddenly Gidon realizes he's not talking to a guy sitting under the tree. Vayomer elav bi Hashem. Now he's talking to God. Right? You see the difference between bi Adoni, my master, and bi Adon, right? Hashem. Bameo shi'a. Now he starts all conversation, very similar to Moshe at the burning bush. Bameo shi'a et Yisrael. How am I going to save Israel? In the Alpi Adal b'minashev and chiyatzir b'vitavi. I am the poorest of my tribe. I am the smallest, the youngest in my household, my father's household. And God says to him exactly, this is a very similar conversation to Moshe at the burning bush, Vayomar elav Hashem, ki eyemach, I will be with you, v'kitat Midian ki shechad. You'll take care of Midian without a problem, like one, like just no worries. Vayomar elav im namatzatichem benech vasita liot shetam adaber imi. So now he says, okay, I need a sign that it is really you speaking to me. It's a little funny, right? He's talking to God and he wants proof that he's talking to God. So he says, "Ana tamush mizad boi elecha v'otzati et minchati v'nachti lefanecha." Stay here for a moment, like Abraham with the angels. You stay here for a second. I'm just going to go grab lunch, and we'll sit. We'll have lunch together. I'm sitting here. God is sitting there, yeah, because he's the malach under the tree. V'gidon ba. So Gidon comes back. V'yask di izim ve'efat kemach matzot. Exactly like Abraham with the angels in Parsha Vayera. He makes them a whole meal, unleavened cakes, an efa of meal. Habasar sam basar, v'amarak sam baparur. There's meat, and there's fit, and there's soup. And he brings it all out. V'yotze elav el tachat ha'elah. Who's sitting under the elah? The Malach. I thought he was talking to God. Vayomer elav Hashem. Vayifneh elav Hashem. Vayifneh elav Hashem. And he's still talking to this individual under the tree. Vayomer elav Malach ha'elokim. The angel says to Gidon, Kach ha'dabasar v'tamatzot, v'nachal ha'sel ha'zev, v'tamarak shvoch. V'yask and take all the cakes, put them on the rock, pour out the soup. He takes the staff, touches it with the edge of the staff. The fire comes out from the rock. As it consumed the offering, the angel disappeared. Gideon's response, Vayomer Gideon, Ki malach Hashem hu. Ah, I get it. I've been talking to a malach. Now I understand. Vayomer Gidon, Hashem Elokim. Ki al ken ra'iti malach Hashem panim al panim. Whoa, alas, I have seen the angel of God face to face. Vayomer lo Hashem, shalom lecha al tira, lo tamut, don't worry, you won't die, you'll be fine, you'll survive this. You'll be okay. And then Gideon builds Mizbech. It's a fascinating little story. But one thing is clear, that at no point is God directly speaking to him. Even when it says, Vayifen elav Hashem, he's still talking to the Malach. It's just the Malach is speaking now in the name of Hashem. So we call that Vayifen elav Hashem. Now clearly he thinks he's talking to a human being because he offers him lunch, and then he thinks he's talking to the same Navi you spoke at the beginning of the chapter and came to the people. Vayishlach Hashem ish Navi. Only when he realizes that he's actually speaking to an angel, whatever that is, then suddenly he realizes now he's in trouble. You have exactly the same transition, by the way, at the burning bush. Take a look at the burning bush. Moshe was a shepherd. He comes to Har Chorev. Vayera malach Hashem elav bilabat esh mitochasne. He sees an angel of God in a fire in the burning bush. The bush is burning, but not consuming. Let me go and see this great sight. When Hashem saw that he turned to see, God called to him from the bush. And said, Vayomer Moshe, Vayomer Hineni. He says, here I am. And then he instructs him, "Al tikrav alam, don't come too close. Shal na lecha mi al raglecha ki emakom esherat olmed al avadmat kodeshu." Sound familiar? Don't get too close. The land that you are standing on is holy ground. I am the Lord your God. I am the God of your fathers, etc., etc., etc. V'yomer Hashem. And he gives him signs. Whole conversation. So the Mefarshim immediately pick up on the transition between Pasuk Bet and Pasuk Dalet. Vayera Malach Hashem Elav. Vaya Hashem. Who's speaking? Is it the angel or is it God? It's a machloket in the Mefarshim. But if I showed you the Mefarshim, here's the Rashbam. Here's the Rashbam. Actually, let's do it in, I'll have the translations here. Vaya Hashem kisar li'ot. God saw that he turned to see. He spoke to him. Who spoke to him? Says the Rashbam. Hamalach kore al shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The angel is speaking on behalf of God. The angel is called God in this verse because he's carrying out God's assignment and message. So when it says God saw, God spoke, it means the angel of God said, the angel of God saw and spoke. Ebenezer says the exact same thing. Vayar Hashem, v'nikra hamalach b'shem enichbad. The angel is called by the revered name in a similar sense to the phrase you quoted this earlier, Kishmi b'kirbo, my name is in him. We'll talk about that phrase in a second. V'cheinu malach sh'nir'a l'gidon. Then this is exactly the same. The idea that it's the same, Ibn Ezra, the Radak even quotes the same language. The notion that even though God seems to be speaking in the beginning of chapter 6, in fact, it's not, there's no two conversations going on here, according to the Mefarshim. There's one conversation. The Malach appears to Yoshua in the form of a fiery angel, chabosh lufabi adol, with a sword drawn. Actually, I don't know. It doesn't say anything about fire. But with the sword drawn. And he comes to him and he identifies himself as the Sar Tzava Hashem, the ministering angel of God. So there's some tzava, there's some army, there's some military context to this. He's in Yericho, and Yericho is surrounded. The Malach is involved. Remember I showed you the Masoret that has that as one paragraph. And then Vayomer Hashem, God gives him the instructions for the fall of Yericho. I'm assuming, says the Mefarshim, this is exactly the point, that the battle plans for Yericho are in fact the battle plans that are delivered to him through the agency of this ministering angel of God's army, Sar Tzava Hashem. That's the takeaway of all of this discussion with parallel to Gidon, parallel to Manoah, parallel to the burning bush, is that when it says that God spoke to Yeshua and told him this is how to take down the walls of Yericho, it's actually the same Malach speaking to Yeshua, and God is speaking through the Malach. Why is that so important to me? Because it will change the nature of the message that Yeshua is hearing. The message coming from God as a separate prophecy to the vision of the angel is different than the message being delivered by the Sar Tzava Hashem. And what I would like to do is explore what happens to this message when it is being delivered by this angel called the Sar Tzava Hashem. Also interesting to note, and I just want to touch on this for a minute, because this comes back to what both Radak and Ibn Ezra made reference to this. Yeshua is not unaccustomed to engaging with God, prophecy, and angels. We're not talking about a nobody like Gidon who's never had an encounter with God in his life, and suddenly he sees a Malach comes to him and he thinks he's talking to a human being. Or Manoach, for the same effort. Right? Remember the story of Manoach, father of Shimshon. There is in Shoftim Perek Yud Gimel, There's a certain person, his name is Manoach, his wife was barren, Ishto Yalada, Karala Yalada, Vayera Malach Hashem Elaisha. The angel appeared to her with instructions. You're going to have a child, and the child is going to be a Nazir, and you have to be a Nazir because the child is going to be a Nazir, and this child is going to save Israel from the hands of the Plishtim. Fine, Shimsha. Okay. What does she do? Look how she describes the encounter. Vatomer ha'isha. Vatomer le'isha. The woman comes to her husband and says, Ish ha'elokim ba'elai. I was approached by a man of God. Ish ha'elokim is a term for a Navi. Umareyu kimare malach elokim. He looked angel-like. He looked angelic. It was like a Navi who looked angelic. It clearly said before Malach Hashem. Unless you want to say it's a messenger, not a Malach, but in the end of the story, we know it's a Malach. And I didn't ask its name, and I didn't ask where he's from, but he gave me a whole message. Okay. Manoach offers a prayer. Vayetar Manoach al Hashem v'yomar, be Hashem. Isha Elokim asher shalachta. You remember that man, that Navi, that man of God that you sent to my wife? Let him come again. I need to know the instructions. V'yorenu manasa l'nara yulad. Why he needs to know this again, why he needs to repeat performance of the prophecy is not our issue for now. But he appears. Again, it's a Malach Hashem who's talking to Manoach. And he says to Manoach, whatever I told her, that's what you have to listen to. Manoach's response, Vayomer Manoach Malach Hashem, Natsrana otach v'nasela v'necha g'di izim. Why don't you stay for lunch? So, you see the recurring pattern? From Abraham's precedent at with the angels in Parsha Vayera, Gideon offered this Navi lunch, discovered that it was a Malach. Manoach is about to offer this Isha Elokim lunch, Gdizim, and the Malach says, I don't need bread. I don't eat. If you want to bring it as an offering, bring it as an offering. And here it spells it out. Lo yada Manoach ki Malach Hashem hu. Manoach had no idea that he was talking to an angel. And then he says, Vayomer Manoach Malach Hashem, Mishmecha, what's your name? Ki yavod v'cha v'chibad nutcha. When your prophecy comes true, we want to throw you a kiddush. We want to give you some kavod. But I don't know who you are. What's your name? Where do you live? And he says, what are you asking me for my name for? It's a mystery. So he places the lunch on the rock. And a wondrous thing happens. So Manoach and his wife are watching. And as the flame goes up, and the angel goes up in the fire with the up to heavens. And then they realize that they're talking to Manoach, to an angel. It's almost the exact same story as Gideon. You have to ask the question why it's repeated. But you get the sense, these are people who have never encountered a Malach before. A person who's never encountered any kind of spiritual encounter with a Malach or with a Navi. So I understand that they're confused. They don't necessarily understand the difference between a Malach and an Isha Elokim. But Yeshua, suggesting in chapter 5 when Yeshua sees him and he says to him, and he sees a man standing there with the chabosh l'fabi adol, with the sword up drawn, and he says to him, "Halanu atayim litzareinu." Is he really think he's talking to an ish? Does he think he's talking to a man? It's possible. It's entirely possible that he thinks that this malach is disguised as a man, and he thinks he's talking to a human being, and so he doesn't know who he is, and he says, Alanu atalim tzareinu, and he identifies himself as an ministering angel of God. Maybe he revealed his cloak, maybe he took off his disguise, and suddenly Yeshua realizes what it is, and he fell down, and he starts to bow. That's entirely possible. But there's another possibility. What I wanted to suggest is that Yeshua is not on the level of Gideon and Manoach and all these other encounters that Gideon, even Moshe at the burning bush, has never encountered a Malach. You have to integrate into a conversation with God slowly. So it's a Malach in the burning bush. It's not panim panim. It's not face to face. Moshe is a long way off from that level of nevuah where he can talk to God face to face. At the burning bush, Mepharshim says he's talking to a Malach. Yeshua sees this malach, and I'm going to assume for the moment the possibility that he actually knows that he's talking to an angel. But if that's the case, how do you understand the question, Halanu atayim letzareinu? Are you for us or against us? Yeshua is marching on Yericho. They were in Gilgal. They crossed the river. They spent 3 days with Brit Milah and the Korban Pesach. And now they're ready to march on Yericho. They start the march. They surround Yericho. They besieged Yericho. And suddenly this malach appears with a sword drawn, facing Yeshua. And Yeshua stops. And he says to him, Halanu atayim letzareinu, are you on our side or on their side? What does that mean? Possible to have an angel of God who comes not to assist us, but to hinder us? Is that possible? And the answer is yes. It is possible. In fact, not only is it possible, it's one of two possibilities. It's a 50% meaning. Both the Radak and the Ibn Ezra made reference to a verse in Shmot Perek Chav Gimel, talking about the connection between the Malach and God's message embedded in the message of the Malach. And that verse is the phrase Kishmi Bikirbo. The Radak made reference to it, and so did the Ibn Ezra. So let's take a look at where that's referring. Shmot Chav Gimel. This is the end of Parshat Mishpatim, right before the right after Ma'amara Sinai, the Mishpatim, and then we have the Mishkan, and then we'll have the Chet HaEgel. Shmot chapter 23. Hinei Anochi Shaleach Malach Lefanecha. Behold, God says to Moshe at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, I'm going to send a messenger, a malach, before you. Lishmor chabaderech, to guard you along the way. Ulahviyacha lamakom asher achinoti, and to bring you into the land that I promised, that I prepared for you. Hishamer mipanav, be very careful. Shma b'kolo, listen to whatever he says. Al tamer bo, don't rebel against him. Ki lo yisalef ishechem, he will not forgive your iniquities easily. Ki shmi b'kirbo, because he carries my name in his midst. My shechina is represented by this malach. If you listen to his voice and you do everything that I say to you, I will make an enemy of your enemies and an adversary of your adversaries. My malach will go before you, and he'll fight your battles. He'll bring you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the, and I will destroy them before you. And while there's a machloket in the Rishonim, whether this malach that we are referring to is a literal malach or a messenger like a navi, the Rivash, one of the Balei Tosfot, says that the reference here is to a navi, shaliach, right, who will accompany the people. The Rashbam and most of the Mefarshim say that the reference here is to a malach, literally. And the Rashbam on this pasuk says, "Hinei ani shalech malachim lefanecha ki dechtiv biYoshua keni svar tzva Hashem antavati loshiyat Yisrael." The two stories play off each other. The Mefarshim link the two. The Rashbam says, "Go take a look at what it says in Shmot Chav Gimel." Shmot Chav Gimel. The Rashbam says, "Go take a look at what it says in Yeshua. There's an angel who comes to accompany our battle, svar tzva Hashem." Okay, 10 chapters later, after Chet HaEgel, and after God's anger, and after they reject the rejection, and after finally Moshe enables God to forgive them, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe, God says to Moshe, Lech ale mizeh. Go ascend, go up, go to the land, go march to the land of Israel. Atavia amasher elita meretz Yitzrayim. Go to the land I promised to your forefathers. V'shalachti lefanecha malach, I will send a malach before you. V'kireshti et haKnani ha'Amorichiti v'Aperizi v'Achivi v'Yebusi, and he will expel all the Canaanites before you. Same malach. Say, here is a malach who come and will bring them to the land of the seven nations of Canaan. Here is a malach who will come and send you and dispel the seven nations of Canaan. El Eretz Zavat Chalav Adavash, with one difference. Ki lo e'ele b'kirbacha, because I will not go in your midst. Ki am k'she'oref ata pen achelcha b'darach, for you are a stubborn people, lest I destroy you along the way. So whereas the Malach in Perchav Gimel represents God in the midst, Kishmi Bikirbo, the Malach in Perch Lamed Gimel represents the fact that God has moved away from them, sent the Malach instead, and said, I'm not coming. Do this on your own. Here's my Malach. Go figure it out. Whatever that means, it's the exact opposite of Kishmi Bikirbo. Does everybody see that? Same passage, same idea, same malach, but post chayta ego, God says the malach serves a different purpose. Beforehand, the malach was there to represent God's presence in their midst, like the anane akavod and the eish and all the miracles of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. God is with them. I will be with you. Shmet lamed gimel, after chayta ego, God says, here, you go on your own. I'm not coming with you. Here's my malach. Here's some level of divine providence, but you're on your own. And the people refuse. Moshe refuses. The people refuse. They refuse to move until God takes this back. But this is a powerful message. I have two different paradigms of the role of the Malach to help or to hinder. And that's precisely what Yeshua says to them. Yeshua comes to them and he says he sees this Isha Medlinagdo, assuming for the moment that he realizes that it's a Malach, which I have to imagine Yeshua is capable of discerning the difference between a human being and a Malach. And he says to him, Alanu Atam Matsarenu, are you, put it in these terms, are you the angel of Shmot Perak Chav Gimel, or are you the angel of Shmot Perak Lamed Gimel? Are you for us? Are you here to hinder us, hold us back? Which angel are you? I was told, Yeshua was told, that this mission to the land of Israel would be accompanied by a malach that was told to them in Chumash. Only question is which? The malach of Perach of Gimel, Lanu, ours, or the malach of Perach Lamed Gimel, in which God turns his back on them because they're too sinful and stubborn?
But the Malach is talking only to Moshe. Who says that Yeshua knows?
He's talking about the Malach that's going to come, go with them to the land of Israel. Alech alemizeh. The fact that Moshe gets replaced by Yeshua, that's a 40-year story. But this is before, long before that. But the idea is that this is the accompanying Malach into the story.
Yeah, but I think in both places the Malach is going to help Israel. It just sounds like in Shmot Kaf Gimel, it's a much closer
Malach. I don't know what it means. Less close. I have translated it into a very practical context. Are you a Malach of Midat HaRachamim, a Malach of assistance, a Malach that represents the Shechinos marching into battle with us? Or are you here to tell us that God has abandoned us, that we've made a mistake, that you're the Malach that's going to come because God is not here, the Malach HaMavis, whoever you want to call it, right? That's exactly the context. Are you Midat HaDin or Midat HaRachamim? Are you a Malach to destroy or a Malach to build? I'll give you another example of the same phenomenon. Hang on a second. Let me give you another example of exactly the same phenomenon. Yeshua, I keep coming back to the story of Abraham in the beginning of Parshat Vayera. Fascinating story. Avram is sitting after Brit Milah, just like Yeshua is sitting after Brit Milah, and three people in Malachim disguised as angels. Angels disguised as people come to him, right? They tell him he's going to have a child, and there's a whole encounter. Then, what happens after that? They turn to go to?
Sodom.
To Sodom, correct? Okay, wait a second. Let's make sure we understand this correctly. Three people, God appears to him. Okay, three people, he goes running after them. He has all conversation with them. They're done. Perak Yutet, Vayavo Shnei Hamalachim Sodoma. And the two messengers came to Sodom. What just happened? We lose one along the way?
One disappeared.
One disappeared. Yeah, I get it. One disappeared. Why? Says Rashi. Fascinating. Says Rashi. Only two malachim came to Sodom. What happened to the third? He went home. Why? Echat lashchit et Sodom. One malach came to destroy Sodom. V'echat latzil et Lot. And one came to destroy Lot, to save Lot. And he's the same Malach who came to heal Abraham. And the third one who came to inform Sarah she's going to have a child. He finished. He did his mission. He went home. This is based on a medrash that says, "Ein Malach echad oseh shtei shlichot." One Malach can't do two missions. And two malachim can't do one mission. Michael came to tell him about the child. Left.
But that's midrash.
I understand that, but it's medrash, but it's also text. I still have to figure out why I need two malachim to save Lot and to destroy Sodom. Right? The medrash is not coming out of nowhere. Yes, the Medrash identifies them by name. Michal, Gavriel, Raphael. Why we name them? Why? Because the only Malachim named by name in all of Tanakh appears in Sefer Daniel is Michal and Gavriel. Right? Gavriel, Nishtalech Lafoch et Sodom. Gavriel was sent to destroy Sodom, hence the word Gvura. And Raphael, from the word Refuah, comes to save Lot. Fine, so it's Medrash. But I still have the same question. Why do I need two malachim to destroy Sodom and to save Lot? Forget the Avram for a second. Why can't one malach save Sodom and destroy Sodom and save Lot? Why do I need two? So the Medrash says because one angel can't do two messages. I don't understand. Malachim are limited. What does that mean? So I'm going to make a suggestion to you. I haven't seen this anywhere, really, but I think it's pshat in the Medrash. It's not that one malach can't do two messages. It's that malachim have a particular focus of either midata din or midata rachabim. They either come to help or they come to hinder. They either come to destroy as a function of din or they come to assist and enhance as a function of rachamim and ava, as chesed. Those are the missions of the Malachim. They represent God's midot. The Malachim represent the mechanism by which God runs the world. God is both Din and Rachamim. But only God can be both Din and Rachamim at the same time. The Malachim represent one or the other. And so you have in Shmot Chav Gimel, the Malach who comes in the context of Mamar HaSina, Kishmi B'Kirbo, my name is in him, is with him, and therefore there is a malach who will accompany them into the land of Israel. And in Shmot Lamed Gimel after Chayta Ego, God says, I'm abandoning you. I'm not coming with you. Ki lo aleh b'kirbacha, whatever it means. But it's the opposite of kishmi b'kirbo. And so the malach represents something alternative to kishmi b'kirbo, my name is in him. And it's represented by lo aleh b'kirbacha. To use the language of Sefer Breishit, one was there to destroy Sodom and one was there to save Lot. Says Yeshua to the malach, which are you? Are you the malach to destroy Sodom? Are you the malach to save Lot? Are you the malach midat harachamim or midat adin? Halanu atayim letzareinu. We started a march on Yericho. Now let's put it into the context of the real political military context here. We've started a march on Yericho. Vayi biyot Yeshua biyuricho. If I include the next text, Viyuricho sugeretum sugeret mifnei b'nei Yisrael. They had encircled Yericho. They had besieged Yericho. Understand the significance of that moment. Yeshua enters into the land of Israel. We're going to come back to this point several times in the course of our study of Yeshua. Yeshua enters into the land of Israel. He has two strategic challenges before him. And he has to figure out a way around them. Technically, one is tactical and one is strategic, but he has two challenges before him. The cities of the land of Israel are walled cities. How does an army of foot soldiers conquer cities that have walls to protect them? That's challenge number one. And we're going to see over and over again various mechanisms by which Yeshua achieves that goal without the miracles of the walls tumbling down, right? To draw the army out and to trick them, etc. All kinds of tactical things that he employs to get the army to leave the city. But that's the first challenge, is the walls of the city. The second challenge Yeshua has is he's fighting against time. Time is not his friend. He needs to conquer the land of Israel quickly because he cannot allow the city-states of the various cities in Yericho, in the land of Israel, to gather together as an alliance of a force against him. They have the advantage, Israel has the advantage, as long as they're fighting one city, one army. If they're fighting all of them together, they become outnumbered. So he's fighting two tactical challenges at the same time. One is the wall, and one is time. They are mutually exclusive because they contradict each other. Because how do you typically take out a walled city? Right? Yoav sat around the siege of Ammon for 2 years before David went back to Yerushalayim and fell into the trap of Bathsheba. A walled city is a problem because a walled city takes time to besiege the population. And he's racing the clock. We're going to come back to that theory, that statement, we're going to come to many times. He's facing the challenge of the unification, the unity of the armies of Canaan and the walled cities. So he starts, V'yot Yeshua B'Yericho. He comes and he says, okay, first walled city. Do you remember the spies with Rachav? What did they tell Rachav to do to save herself? Hide inside the walls. The last place in the world you want to tell somebody to hide if you know in advance that the walls are going to be fall in an earthquake. Yeshua has no clue that the walls are destined to come down in an earthquake. Neither do the spies. In his mind, okay, first walled city, first challenge, what do? Ve'yiricho sugeretum sugeret. It's a siege. They besieged the city. They marched in Yericho. And as they're marching to Yericho, suddenly between them and the city stands a malach with the sword. So he says, which angel are you?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, hang on one second. Let me just finish the thought.
Okay, sure.
To which the Malach's response now, and we're going to have to analyze this next week because we won't be able to do it today, but the Malach's now response is going to become the focus of our discussion moving forward. The Malach's response is, Vayomer lo, Getni Satzva Hashema. I am the ministering angel of God. Atavati, I have come now. That sentence seems to be the ultimate non sequitur. There's not one phrase in that answer that relates to the question that Yeshua asked. He asked, are you friend or foe? What did he answer? No, I'm the angel of God. I've come now. Okay. I'm the army of God. I represent the army of God. I've got a sword in my hand. I've come now. Are you friend or foe? The question still stands. How does that answer the question? Let alone the extraordinary polemic that is generated by the Medrash on that Pasuk, and we will explore that Bezrat Hashem next week. It's one of the most dramatic polemics in Sefer Yeshua, led to a comment of the Radak that has we'll explore next week. much to be said. But we're going to stop here, and I'm going to take the answer to the question that somebody posed. What was the question? Somebody had a hand raised to the question. Oh. I stopped a moment ago, and I said, hang on a second.
I did. I'm reading, you know, like Pshuto Shel Mikra. I'm looking at Pshuto, and I don't understand why we had to do this whole thing. And, you know, like if Yeshua sees somebody with a sword, and it's normal to ask, you know, like, you know, who are you? And then the answer is something that Yeshua could grasp because he's a military person. So he said, Shar Tzava. So instead of saying I'm a malach, I'm saying I'm a military man. And that makes sense to Yeshua. So now he's listening. And he says, I'm coming from God. So I don't understand why we cannot go with...
Are you suggesting that this is not a... Wait a second, are you suggesting that it's not a malach at all?
No, I'm saying that Yeshua saw him at the beginning and thought that it was a person. He asked him that it was a person. If he's, you know, for or against, which is a normal thing to do, especially if they're busy putting on a siege. And the guy says, no, I'm an angel of God. But if for you know, like, Dibra Torah Belshom Bnei Adam, you know, like he's talking to the way that Yeshua understands, which is like I'm saying.
So I suggest that that's possible. I said that's one possibility. So
it seems to me that, you know, like, instead of going through this whole thing with all the why can't we look at it like really the way the story goes, which is so simple.
Again, I'm not necessarily making it less simple. I'm trying to understand the answer and what comes next. At the end of the day, two things are important to me. Right? Whether you want to take this question as Yeshua recognizes the angel or he doesn't recognize the angel. Okay, maybe he's like Gideon the Manoach. He thinks he's talking to a person and then he realizes he's talking to an angel. That's why he falls on his face.
Well, maybe Abraham also, because he washed their feet, you know. You don't need to wash...
But they're the disguise. They're for sure they're the disguise intentionally. So.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. So okay. They don't always know.
Okay, but I it's possible. But here's my issue, and this for us is going to be very important.
Yeah, where is the issue? That's what I'm trying to understand. Where is the...
Well, there's a lot of issues. Number one, the most important thing for us is to recognize that this side of Hashem is connected directly to the continuation in chapter 6 of
right.
The story of the conquest in fact, he's the one who's delivering the message to Yeshua that this is the way we're going to conquer the walls of Jericho. Now, we think that that's normal, that this is the normal way. You take down the walls of Jericho with Hakafot, etc. We're going to see how not normal that is. And therefore, it's an extraordinary, it basically puts the brakes on Yeshua's army. So he's standing there with the sword to put the brakes on Yeshua's army, to tell Yeshua, stop marching. And that's why he says, Alanu atayim letzareinu. What do you mean, stop marching? He's standing there with the sword, but the sword's not facing Jericho. The sword's facing him. So that's the first. So I suggested that it may even be to the case where he doesn't even know that he thinks he's talking to an angel. He just doesn't know what kind of angel he's talking to because the angel's coming at him, not at Yericho. It's facing the wrong direction. So from our perspective, it's what's important is to the reference that Sar Tzva Hashem here, the Malach here, is in fact the voice of Vayomer Hashem al Yeshua. That's a machloket, but that's very important for us because we're going to build on this description of Yericho's, of the fall of the walls of Yericho, to understand the message of, I keep having to jump chapters because it's two different chapters, but whatever, to understand the message of Ki Ani Sar Tzva Hashem Atabati. That's point number one. And that's why that the Masoret divides, this chapter division is so.
Right, okay, I agree.
In the context of. That's the most important piece. The other piece to recognize is that, and that was a suggestion, that in the end, this conversation, this is the last piece that we did, this conversation between Yeshua and the Malach, it's possible that he doesn't know that he's talking to a Malach, but it's also possible that he does, because both the Radak and the Ibn Ezra link this transition between Alanu Atayim Letzareinu, this transition between the Malach speaking here and God speaking in chapter 6, they link that same transition to the phrase Kishmi Bikirbo in Shmot Chav Gimel.
I think it's significant that the angel introduces himself as Satzva Hashem as opposed to Satzva Elokim, meaning the Satzva Midat HaRachamim.
That could be. That could be part of the answer also. Well, it's called usually Satzva Hashem, but that we're going to have to explore what the Satzva Hashem is altogether. That's a whole shiur into itself. Who and what is this concept called Satzva Hashem? Yes, question.
I have a quick question. This image or description of a malach mcharbo shlufa, I may be wrong, but right away it brought to me the image of the malach in front of in Balak, in front of that. That's
correct.
Exactly the same description.
Excellent.
And he serves as a barrier, as you're
excellent.
Saying, to go
and
forward.
The same vision, by the way, the same vision as the... Actually, I'm going to stop sharing because I don't need this now. You are correct 100%. There's the vision of Balak and the angel. There's the vision of the angel who stands in front of Gan Eden.
That's the other vision that I was going to mention.
The fiery sword.
Also as with a cherub and as barrier.
Mm-hmm. So there are all kinds of images of an angel standing with the sword that's not friendly or that's not on our side. And so I agree. I think that there's enough background and enough parallel to say, at least as a question, again, we could read it two ways. We could read it as Yeshua knows who he's talking to. He doesn't know who he's talking to. He thinks he's talking to a human being. The moment he realizes he's talking to an angel, he bows down, his tone changes. That's possible. What I'm suggesting is that it's also possible that, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that there's also this reference to the question, what is this angel coming to do? He stopped the army in its tracks. The army was marching. And this malach comes and says, stop. We're going to take 7 days. We're going to walk around the walls. We're going to... Right? Why? So that we're going to have to explore. But that Malach's facing them. He's not facing Yerichah. He's not standing there with going charge, right? He's standing there with the sword facing them. That Yeshua wouldn't have said, Alanu atayim letzvenu, if he was facing the other way. So that's where I came to the suggestion that there's a difference between Malachim who serve in the role of Midat HaRachamim and Malachim who serve in the role of Midat
HaDin. The Malach in the Bilam story changes the whole trajectory of the story. The same, we could maybe make a parallel there. It's a very interesting. Also, Bilam sees the Malach and with the sword and he bows down. So there are a lot of parallel languages.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Next week, Bezat Hashem, we will pick up from the answer of the Malach, Sar Tzva Hashem Atabati. And we're going to get into a little bit of a contemporary polemic with it. But very famous Gemara in Erevin. So there's much to unpack. So we will, Bezat Hashem, continue next week.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Have a good week.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.